leadership to the hierarchy who rules Great Britain. Mr. Bukowski, thank you so very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on in England? Because it appears that you're moving, rapidly, despite the fact that the people don't want it, towards this European Union as a stepping stone to world government.
Well, as you know, I'm sure you know, that at the beginning of the summer, at the end of the spring, there was an attempt made by European Union to consolidate its power and to openly proclaim it to be a state. They tried to force a draft constitution for the whole Europe, but it failed in two countries where it tried. In France, it was defeated in the referendum by a margin of about 5-6%, and in Holland, it was defeated stunningly by a huge margin, something like 64% of Dutch voted against it. Then they stopped. They didn't try it in Britain because all the polls indicated it would be well over 70% against it, and in some other countries, equally high numbers.
But the elite really don't care what the people want, do they?
Exactly. I mean, it was their mistake. They could have lived without this constitution draft and referendums. What do they do now? I mean, the question is, what do they do when the people have so conclusively shown them that they don't want that to happen? Oh, they just forget about the attempt on constitution. They just implement it without it being approved by anyone. Piece by piece, step by step, they just do exactly what they've written in the constitution. And they don't ask anybody's approval for that. So that's the reality we're living in right now. What the next steps they're taking? One of the steps is to try to break this country, as well as any other country in Europe, into regions directly subordinated to Brussels. So so-called regionalization policy. A very clever move, you know, because they impose on you some kind of new administrative division which people don't even understand why, what, who is going to govern it. But then you suddenly discover that your local taxes are already raised on behalf of Brussels, on behalf of European Commission, not on behalf of of your countrymen. And, many things like that. We all leave and wait. What's the next move on that part will be?
Well, of course, my understanding is they did have a vote somewhere there in Great Britain, about this regionalization, and the people voted against it overwhelmingly.
Exactly. In one of the areas, for some odd reason, again, they wanted people to confirm. They were sure that the majority would be in their favor, and they lost it completely. They were defeated stunningly. Then they stopped the referendum processes. They're just talking about making it anyway. So whether we vote for it or not, they're going to impose on us this new administrative division subordinated to Brussels.
Because this is really what democracy is all about. Plato, writing 2,400 years ago, said, democracy always degenerates into despotism. And when you hear the President of the United States say, hey, we are going to bring democracy to the Middle East, what he really means is tyranny. And he refers to America as a democracy. You can read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, and never see mention of the word democracy other than to say, the last thing we want is a democracy. So what does the President want it? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Vladimir Bukowski, who lives in Great Britain, but he was raised in a totalitarian country, and he feels very deeply about the fact that he sees his adopted homeland moving away from representative government and parliamentary government towards a ruthless tyranny under the control of the bureaucrats in Brussels under the European Union. And, of course, he has written about this. In fact, some years ago, recently, he wrote a little pamphlet, and we've actually carried this pamphlet, and it goes into the background of the influence of America, the American Trilateral Commission, coming to England and sort of dictating these programs. How long ago was that, that the people from the elite group here in America were over in Great Britain, making their agreements for world government? Mr. Bukowski?
Yes. Well, you see, you always assume that the European project, as they call it, the European integration into some kind of a state, was a European idea which might be even perceived as hostile by the United States. And indeed, some of the leaders of the European Union, in their public proclaimings, make it to sound somehow anti-American. But then you suddenly discover, and that really puzzles me, that the top American elite actually proves it. In 1989, as the documents I've found in the secret archives, still secret archives of Kremlin, in 1989, the delegation of Trilateral Commission came to see Gorbachev. That was composed of Rockefeller, Kissinger, Nakasone, former Prime Minister of Japan, and Giscard d'Estaing.
Now, this was what, in the Kremlin? They came to visit him?
Yeah, they came to Moscow in January of 1989. Ostensibly, they came to talk about Soviets slowly integrating into the international financial system, like GATT, like IMF, like World Bank, about the possible convertibility of ruble, things like that. But then suddenly, in the middle of all that, Giscard d'Estaing took a floor, and he said, "Mr. President, it might happen in 10 or 15 or probably 20 years, but you must be aware that Europe is going to be a one single state. And you have to think how you would integrate with that, how would you establish your relations with that."
Hold that thought right there. We're going to have to bring other stations back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Vladimir Bukovsky. He was talking about some documents he actually uncovered. They were Kremlin documents, and back in 1989, here coming to Moscow to meet with Gorbachev were people like David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger and the other elite from the Trilateral Commission, the real ruling structure of our government. It has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans. It has to do with the ruling elite. And they're meeting there, and apparently Giscard d'Estaing, who was the Prime Minister of France at that time, said to Gorbachev that Europe was going to be reunited into one nation. And what was the Russians going to do about it? Why don't you pick up the story there?
Yeah, well, it was January 1989. At that time, in Europe here, we didn't know about this plan. They didn't tell us. They denied it, actually. They would always say, no, we are not going to make one super state out of it now. Even the preliminary steps, like Maastricht Treaty, which was signed in 1992, was not even drafted yet. That was 1992, and we are talking about 1989. And yet, Giscard d'Estaing and others already knew it's going to happen. There were no referendum conducted at that time on this subject, nothing at all. But they knew, and they warned their counterpart in Moscow to be prepared and to be ready to integrate together with them. What puzzled me even more, that since the whole idea is perceived like anti-American, you would expect Dr. Kissinger to stand up and say, "Hold on a moment, we in America don't view it this way, and we should, No, he didn't say that. No, he said, "Oh yes, we all in Trilateral Commission want to make this process as smooth as possible, and we hope to be a part of it as well, and the Soviet Union as well as the United States should be playing a certain role in this integration process." That's all he said. Now, 15 years later, we already had this integration coming into force, and who has drafted the Constitution of European Union? Giscard d'Estaing. Mind you, today he's nobody. He doesn't occupy any position. He's not president of France anymore. He's nobody. And yet, he was the chairman of the group which drafted the European Constitution. How come? And he knew it 15 years earlier.
Well, I think people have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. Many times, why our government will play games pretending to oppose something when they really support it. You know, they tell us one thing about why we went to war in Iraq, had nothing to do with the real reasons about it, and they consistently lie to the people. But the English government does it, the European Union does it. They couldn't tell the people of Europe that they tended to do away with national sovereignty and with their freedom and to bring them under totalitarian control. Oh, no. We're going to establish just a monetary union. That's what it's all about. Why we would never try to create a super state. And they simply lie. Because they know the people don't want to give up their freedom. They don't want to give up their nationality and the sovereignty of their nations. But the elite have a different program, don't they?
Oh, yes. They always have their own agenda. And the agenda is sometimes 20, 25, 30 years ahead. And they're very painstakingly pursuing their agenda. It's really amazing. I mean, for me, it was quite interesting to work with these secret documents, which we copied practically illegally. I mean, I was a part of a process, a constitutional court of Russia, in the case of President Yeltsin versus Communist Party. And because they were standing to lose this particular trial, they asked me to come and to be an expert and a witness. And in that capacity, I had the right to subpoena the secret documents, so that I did, as you can imagine, as much as I could possibly manage. I've got lots of transcripts of top-level conversations, negotiations, behind the scene, and whatever.
Well, certainly, the Americans were working very closely with the communists at that time, weren't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, everyone. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean... some figures in not only in the government but in business communities and in cultural figures and you know, influential figures, public figures, they all had to behind the scenes deal with the Soviet Union, and they were dealing with it, and very cynically sometimes. You know, I found, for example, one very funny thing. There was a Soviet American Trade Commission, to which many big businesses would be members, promoting better relations with the Soviet Union and more expensive trade, removing all trade barriers at that time, yeah? And they admit to Gorbachev that on many occasions they would pay money to pollsters in America for them to conduct opinion polls, which would show that the American public is very eager to improve relations with the Soviet Union. So they admit openly that they bribed the pollsters.
You know, I think that we should be able to look and see what's happening in America today. If you look at the miracle, economic miracle that's taken place in China, how did it take place? Why, with money from the United States, and certainly from European banks as well, but primarily the United States Bank, and the World Bank, which we control, and the International Monetary Fund, which we control, and the Agency for International Development, which we control, and the Asian Development Bank, which we control. And we have built up this amazing economic competitor. And the American people don't understand that this is not showing that the Chinese communists have the ability to build up their economy, because communism doesn't work. What it does show is with massive infusions of money and technology from the West, that you could take a backward nation like China and bring it into the 20th century, at least for maybe a quarter of the population there. And it is truly amazing what's happened. But it all happened because of aid and trade from the United States. And really, why didn't that happen in Russia after the so-called fall of communism, which, of course, I don't really think is really fallen? I think that, after all, Gorbachev is occupying the United States. We don't occupy Russia. But why didn't Russia succeed as well as China did after the the Berlin Wall came down?
Well, they were very close to succeeding, but, you know, the plan was very ingenious, how to very softly reshape the country, not to call it communist anymore, because that is provocative. So they were very clever in removing the odious people from the government and faking it as if it's kind of a public enthusiasm. But as soon as they gave a half a chance to people to say what they really want, the people would immediately turn against them. For example, how it happened in Germany is a long story, but very intriguing. The German unification. Now, Everyone in the world was against German unification. No one wanted it. And all openly would say, no, we don't want that to happen. And the Soviets, the Americans, the British, the French, and even the Chancellor of Germany at that time, Helmut Kohl, said, no, no, I'm not going to do that. We will do it only in the framework of European integration. The integration of two Germanys will happen in the process of European integration. Namely, they meant to say it would happen 10, 15 years later in a framework of European Union. But as soon as these Germans were given the slightest chance of saying what they want, they immediately voted in millions to reunite with West Germany immediately. And nothing anyone could do. There were huge crowds migrating from east to west and whatever. And unless you shoot them all down, which would have been very awkward in the middle of perestroika, you couldn't stop it. So the unification happened because East German people wanted it to happen, and against the all odds, against the desire of all the politicians in the world.
And of course, the thing, I think that people have an innate desire to be free, but there are always those people who want to be the rulers, whether it be in Russia, whether they would be in China, whether it would be in Washington, D.C., and it doesn't really matter what the people want. They have their agenda, and if we allow them, they'll get it through.
Well, sometimes they lose control. And that happens time and again. I mean, they still believe they can control the whole world. They're utopians, you know. New World Order utopians.
Right.
They believe they can control the world. No one could control the world. Napoleon couldn't, Hitler couldn't, even Stalin couldn't. They all learned in their due time that it's not possible to control the whole world.
But of course they're doing a pretty good job of controlling your country today, Great Britain, and despite the fact that the people don't want to give up their sovereignty, that they don't want the increased taxes and regulations and control from Brussels, isn't it coming?
Well, that's one thing they are very good at. You know, most people are not that attentive. They don't pay attention to that. They are pathetic. If the thing is done piecemeal, piece by piece, you know, like salami tactics it's called, you know, when you slice salami very thin, no one notices you sliced it. And that's the biggest danger here in Europe and in Britain as well. Majority of people just going about their own business, they don't look into all the nice details about some negotiations in one or another country, and they don't even notice when they're deprived very vital rights, which was used to be theirs. That is a danger when they do it surreptitiously, piece by piece.
But that's exactly what they're doing in England. That's exactly what they're doing here in America. That's what they're doing to all the countries of Europe. And the people don't want it, but what are they going to do after all? With the media controlled, and you have two political parties in most countries, and both of them are controlled by the same people, they really don't have anybody to vote for. In England, do you have any real choice when you go to the polls?
No. At the moment, we live almost like we used to in Soviet Union, this one-party system, because Conservative Party practically disappeared. It just torn apart by its own internal contradictions. They cannot decide what they should do with European integration. And therefore, people cannot vote for them. I mean, they're just split many ways. Labour is the only player in town, so to speak, and the only show. And if we have any political disagreement, it will be between the left and the extreme left.
And
that's
course,
the only political game we have.
And the Labour Party is totally under the control of the Fabian Socialists, who've been in bed with the Russians going back to the time of the Russian Revolution. We're going to be back in just a moment with Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky, who values freedom a lot more than a lot of Americans. Book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events.
call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Cobb.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Vladimir Bukovsky, who already had a unique opportunity of going through the Soviet archives back in 1989 and getting much of this information. We actually carry a pamphlet that he's put together that goes into the background of the fact that the members of the Trilateral Commission and Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller were over there visiting with Gorbachev in 1989. And you have to understand that nothing is it appears to be. We pretend, for instance, we're against the International Criminal Court. We would not have an International Criminal Court if it had not been come up with America, hadn't financed the meetings and encouraged people to join, and then we hang back, oh my goodness, no, that isn't a good idea. Well, of course it isn't, because they'd put our president on trial for what's happened in Iraq, and he doesn't want to get into that sort of a situation. Although, later on, he may very well be sacrificed who knows, tried by an international tribunal for what's happened. But George Bush is expendable. He is simply a figurehead for the elite who work behind the scenes. After all, they gave him bad intelligence. If they hadn't given him back that intelligence, I don't think he would have come forward and lied to the American people. But within a week, he knew it was a lie, and he did not have the courage to go after the people who'd given him the information, or the people who didn't stop the attack on 9-1-1, although they knew it was coming, or any of these things. He is simply a figurehead. And I think it's so vitally important that people understand that, you know, our leaders say one thing internationally, they say another thing to our people, but the people must be kept in the dark all the time. Because, of course, what we're looking at is the destruction of individual freedom, the destruction of national sovereignty, the creation of a one-world government, and, of course, the real force behind this thing, in my opinion, and that is the creation of a new world religion. So, Mr. Bukowski, you know, after that meeting that was held in 1989, what actually transpired, and what was the result of that meeting?
Well, there were a series of meetings afterwards with leaders of European leading parties, and in this particularly the left-wing parties, the Socialist Social Democrats, the French President Monsieur Mitterrand came, and the Spanish Prime Minister Felipe González, and Willy Brandt of Germany, and they all discussed in detail how they're going to take over this European integration and make it into what they want, the federal state, instead of having, as they proclaimed from the beginning, just open market. People bought the idea of open market because they all believe in the freedom of movement for goods and capitals and labor. And that's why they all bought this idea at the beginning. But then they decided to take it all and turn it upside down. And where it was supposed to be just open market, there will be a federal state with thousands of regulations. Do you realize how many regulations and directives any new country joining European Union has to implement? 80,000 pages. 80,000 pages.
And, of course, every time you pass a law, you take away a little freedom. You pass enough laws, there is no freedom.
Our parliament already is just a rubber stamp parliament. I mean, because 70 to 80% of all decisions are made in Brussels, and they have no power to overturn it.
I think that's so important. Would you repeat that for our listeners? What you're saying is that the British Parliament, elected by the British people, has nothing to say. The decisions are made elsewhere, just as today we have a Congress and a Senate, but they're not making the real decisions. Those decisions are being made elsewhere.
In Britain, as well as in any European country today, our elected national parliaments have no power.
Absolutely.
That's all decided in Brussels by unelected body called European Commission. No one elects them. They are not accountable to anyone. We cannot kick them out. So, and they make these decisions which are binding on every member country. So it comes to us just to implement it.
And, of course, these are the elite. These are the unelected rulers who will determine our future and the future of our children, the future of humanity, unless, of course, the people care. But, you know, the people are so busy living their lives and making a living, and they're so confused by what they read in the paper, and they have the idea they're going to go to the polls and they're going to vote for the conservatives or the liberals, or what's the third party you got over there? I guess it's a... Anyway, you know, but it's all a sham. And even if the people want to do something, bring in electronic voting machines and somebody sitting at a modem someplace would determine the outcome of the elections. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand what's happening. Freedom is lost when good people aren't involved. And I would ask you out there listening audience, what are you doing? Mr. Bukowski has, of course, left Russia, left his home, has come to England. He's trying to sound the alarm over there. And now, of course, he's on the radio with us, trying to sound the alarm here. But are you hearing the alarm? Do you really care about freedom? Because remember, once freedom is lost, it will never, never, never be regained.
Fascinating four tapes set, genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
And, of course, Dr. Day was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, not the president of Planned Parenthood. Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky, who today lives in Great Britain and is very, very concerned because he sees the same things happening in Europe he saw happening in Russia. He lived under the tyranny of a massive bureaucracy that was not responsive to the people. Oh, people say, well, we have elections, though, in Europe. Yes, you have elections, and you have a choice of Tweedledum or Tweedledee, just like you have here in the United States. Only you haven't felt the descent of the boot of tyranny just yet. But remember, it's coming, because America is the primary force behind this whole move towards world government. Do you see, then, Mr. Bukovsky, the American influence in pushing this idea of world government?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, through international organizations like United Nations, like UNESCO, like God knows what, World Trade Organization, even the things like aviation authorities, for example. I mean, they were very instrumental, for example, in prohibiting smoking all around the world. I mean, whether you like smoking or not, it's your personal business. Why would the civil aviation authorities force all the airlines in the world to introduce non-smoking policy under the penalty of not having landing rights in the United States? I mean, it's none of their business, is it? Their business is to be concerned with security of flights, with whatever. That is political. That is political correctness. And they forced it on all airlines, including even the Russian air flot, which tried to sue them and won in France in the courts, but nevertheless accepted it under the pressure. So that's amazing. I mean, this is an organization which is purely technical. It's not supposed to do that. And who were the main movers behind it? That was the Americans. Very often you find suddenly, even if you expect it to be somewhat else, you find that it ultimately boils down to American banks, big businesses, multinationals. They are the most influential forces in the world.
Someone once said that of course, you pass laws to keep all men from their folly, why, you should have a race of fools, and certainly I'm against smoking. I think it's terrible. But I think if people know what's going on, they should have a right to do it. I think we have a right to do the wrong things, except in a tyrannical state. And in a tyrannical state, the government will dictate everything for you. And the only question I can't quite figure out now is why, after pushing smoking and encouraging smoking for so many years, to the point where today the most common cause of cancer, second most common cause of both cancer in both men and women, is lung cancer, why, after being encouraged for so many years by our government, are we suddenly telling us it's bad and we can't do it? Did it have some beneficial effects? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that if people want to smoke, why we should not outlaw that. Because if they can outlaw that, they can outlaw everything that people want to do, even though they know it's harmful, and they should be told it's harmful. We, I fear, are moving away from all individual freedom.
Yeah, that's exactly that. I mean, and mind you, very often they cause a spread of what they pretend to stop. For example, in Europe, under the European Commission directive, every pack of cigarettes has a big black and white inscriptions, which is kind of compulsory. No company can sell cigarettes without it. And it's very often very attractive, kind of enticing for kids, like smokers die young. I mean, what could be more cool for a teenager, smokers, you know, he's kind of a demonic figure who denies all these things and smokes, you know, it's cool. And suddenly, as a result of all these so-called measures against smoking, we have an incredible explosion of kids smoking, 11, 10-year-old, particularly girls. They all smoke now, although it's almost illegal here in this country. Nevertheless, it becomes, and it's a direct response to that pressure, whether it's deliberate or not, I can't tell you. It's maybe simply stupid, but it does cause kids to be attracted to doing this dangerous thing.
Well, what are some of the other things that you see as far as the American influence forcing the rest of the world to comply with the dictates of our corporations, the dictates of our bank, the dictates of our rulers? Are there other things that you see that are being imposed on the rest of the world from the United States?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Political correctness. It's a very big thing. It's a new ideology. It's probably the biggest threat to human freedom after communism. All this, you know, for example, now, we have a new law which is pushed through from Brussels, a so-called hate speech law. Now, if you say anything bad about homosexuals, for example, you go to jail. There's one Swedish pastor who got imprisoned for 2 months for just quoting the Bible. Actually, he didn't say more than that.
What a hateful thing for him to have done.
Exactly. And then the same law now adopted in France. We already have here in Britain adopted a law against religious hatred, hate speech, which is very vaguely defined. I mean, if you say you don't like Quran, you might be actually pronouncing something heretical. Equally, any Muslim who says he doesn't subscribe to gospel might actually be found in hatred. I mean, they, with their laws and regulations, generate much more hatred and tension than we, the people, would have generated between ourselves.
And I think that that's what they really want to do. I think they're trying to create a backlash on the part of the conservative Christians against the homosexuals and a backlash of the homosexuals against the Christians. I think that they're doing everything they can to get the Muslims to hate the Christians and the Christians to hate the Muslims. How easy it is then to manipulate both sides.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's a very old rule. In Latin, it was called divido et impero, divide and rule.
Right.
It's one of the oldest imperial rules ever known to humanity.
And, of course, but the Americans' wealth is being used to bribe officials, to force governments to do exactly what we want to. Now, isn't that generating tremendous hatred, over in Europe against the United States?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, we live now in one of the incredible anti-American periods. I live in the West ever since I was exchanged and kicked out of the Soviet Union in 1976. I live almost 30 years here. And at no time, believe me, there was so much of anti-American feelings in Europe than it is today. And of course, that is provoked. I mean, it could have been more, the dealings could have been more tactful, more kind of considerate. But it was done deliberately on both sides. Europe would pretend to hate, the politicians would pretend to hate Americans, although they always followed American line. And Americans would behave in a rather arrogant manner. And, and as a result, you know, it generates hatred.
Well, I'm really very, very much afraid that we're doing everything here in the United States to generate hatred on the part of the Muslims, and by showing the pictures of what happened to Abu Ghraib and allowing pictures to be taken in Guantanamo of the humiliated Muslims there in their orange jumpsuits in chains and in shackles. What was their crime? They were soldiers fighting. Maybe they weren't even soldiers fighting. A lot of them weren't. They were just sort of picked up and taken there, and then they're blinded. They were wearing these black things so they can't see, and they got earmuffs on so they can't hear. Dehumanizing them, and then they have them kneeling in chains, showing those pictures throughout the world, knowing full well it would inflame the hatred of the Muslims. Why would you do something like that unintentionally?
It's even worse, Dr. Stan. I mean, if you listen to what is debated now in Washington, D.C., you really would be horrified. I mean, they're debating legalization of torture. And who else but Vice President Dick Cheney is going around saying that without torture, we should legitimize it and empower our people in the field, and with that, only with that, we can defeat terrorism. I mean, for Christ's sake, they said they want democracy in the Middle East. How are they going to impose it with torture? I mean, who the hell needs torture? Humanity spent several centuries trying to abolish it as a pernicious thing which destroys society. And yet, your elected leaders are now talking about legalizing torture.
And if that's what really disturbs me is that our current administration claims to be a Christian regime, where the president regularly prays and regularly talks to God. And what impression are the rest of the world going to have of Christianity? Is this going to build the esteem of people for Christianity and want them to be more like America? Or is it going to provoke hatred of Christianity and turn people against America? How can any Christian in America back a regime that openly supports torture? And, of course, you cannot. And I fear for my country. I really do. Because where is the outcry from the responsible Christian leaders? And I'm still waiting for it.
Yes, I agree with you. It's becoming a very confusing time when people say they're Christians, they suddenly behave in an explicitly non-Christian manner, and the people who say they don't believe in anything are trying to be at least considerate. It's very confusing. I mean, it should have been the other way around.
It certainly should be. Well, our telephone number, if somebody would like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, we carry Mr. Bukowski's booklet, and what's the title of that booklet?
It's called EUSSR.
EUSSSR, right, and it's very...
Yeah, the roots of European integration.
And, of course, what people have to understand is that this whole idea was being pushed by the United States. And here, Mr. Bukowski had the opportunity of going through these Soviet files back in 1989. And here is David Rockefeller and Kissinger working with their good friend, Mr. Gorbachev. I may have not have been a parent at that time, but here now we see, of course, Gorbachev over here in this country as one of the leaders directing American domestic and foreign policy. What's wrong with this picture? And I think that people better take a second look and understand their forces working behind the scenes. And they even mentioned the Trilateral Commission in these papers that you interpreted, didn't they?
Yes. Oh, yes. There was a visit by the delegation of Trilateral Commission, and there were some reference to it and follow-up conversations with their representatives in Europe. The whole European edifice of federal state or super state was built under supervision of European of Trilateral Commission. They were very much part of it.
And I think it's so important for people to understand is that nothing happens by accident. This is all long-range planning by the elite who have a different agenda, who, in my estimation, worship a different god, and whose goal is, of course, the ultimate destruction of both the sovereignty and the prosperity and the nationhood of the United States. So I think that what you have actually done is get a very, very important document and put it together. What sort of response are you getting, you know, when people read your material on the EUSSR?
Well, in France it was published, unfortunately a bit too late for the referendum. It was published in September, but it's well read in France. In Germany, I couldn't find a publisher. All publishers would shy off and was scared to touch it, you know, because, oh no, that's explosive material. And we finally found some small publisher who did put it across. He's saying he's selling it through internet because he cannot put it in the shelf of any bookstore, but he's doing fine. In Britain, it's also published by a small publishing house. But it's slowly getting on and on. I've noticed quite a few European prominent figures suddenly quoting this booklet, sometimes without a reference to the source, sometimes with the reference. At least the expression EUSSR became quite common in Europe because of our booklet.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Andrew calling us from New York. And incidentally, if you'd like to get the booklet, we do carry it. We actually print it here, and then we send a royalty over. I don't know that we've moved enough of them, but that's because we haven't talked about it. This is a very important document written by our guest today, Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky. Andrew, did you have a question for our guest?
I generally wanted to say great guest, Dr. Stan.
Well, thank you. Well, we try to have great guests, and we're so fortunate to have friends over in England who get them for us.
And I just actually wanted to make a comment that I have found, of all the people I've met, I've spent some time in Russia. The Russians are the least bamboozled by the whole globalist agenda.
You mean they really understand what's going on more better than the
Americans? Sure, probably because they've been victimized by it as much as anyone else.
How would you respond to that, Mr. Bukovsky?
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, because we were 73 years under the ruthless communist ideological dictatorship, the majority of people would not trust any authority. Sometimes it becomes disruptive because they don't accept anything from the authority. You do need at least some cohesion in society. We don't have it. But by and large, it's beneficial because whenever they hear anything, they check it. They always check and double check and doubt and think and reason and argue with each other. And that's a healthy way of doing it.
And, of course, they've lived under tyranny, you know, where you never could trust anybody. And the same thing is happening here in America. They're developing a system of informants, and all that information is going back to Washington, D.C., in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave someplace. Anything else, Andrew?
No, just Dr. Stan, you have great guests, and you're probably the best source of free information and the truth out there. So,
God bless you. Thanks so much. Well, Mr. That was Andrew calling from New York. Well, we got about 2 or 3 minutes. What message would you like to leave with the American people today?
Well, I don't want them to be left with a gloomy picture of impossibility. I mean, that's one thing I never accepted, impossibility. 40-odd years ago, when we got together, the bunch of youngsters, the bunch of teenagers, we were against a huge monster which was keeping in fear the whole world. We start working, we network. Of course we were punished, of course we went through jails. I, for one, spent 12 years in the gulag in total. But at the end of the day, when I look back from where we came and what we achieved in 40 years, it's amazing. The monster is destroyed. It might be still breathing, it might be still holding on to something, but we've definitely broken its backbone. So if people really have a will and determination, they can do that.
And of course, we could do it here if there were enough people who really valued freedom, and because we have so much more knowledge than the young people did in Russia 40 years ago. We know who financed the terrible tyranny that was there. American banks, American corporations, and of course the leaders of our country, the Federal Reserve System. Russia was simply made in New York City and exported over there. This terrible, terrible tyranny. And the same thing is happening, being planned for Europe today. It doesn't make any sense, but history records the fact that so much of the original financing that allowed Russia to continue its tyranny came from America, because communism really doesn't work, does it, Mr. Bukovsky?
No, it doesn't work, but for some reason it was very advantageous for a lot of forces in the world to keep it alive.
Amen.
They wanted to finish it off. They could have done it in the 40s and 50s and 60s, but they never did.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us. And I look forward to having you with us again in the not-too-distant future, perhaps in one of our other programs, because you have such great understanding of what's going on.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values.
Expensive. We actually printed it here with his permission. We sent him a royalty on it. It's called the EUSSR, and here you'll find what he found when he went through the archives there in the Soviet Union. He's dedicated his whole life to freedom. What are you willing to dedicate your life to? Because freedom is never free. And if you believe what you're being told... Thank you. Oh, they just go along with what's politically acceptable. References there. It should be very obvious. My book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get what we're talking about by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. What you really need to get is our new free pamphlet set, The Occult Hierarchy. It's a compilation of my newsletters and some of those that Dr. Dennis Cuddy wrote for me over the last 6 or 7 years. The Occult Hierarchy in 3 pamphlets, each one $3.95, or all 3 for $9.95. Get them, study them, read them. Understand where Gorbachev fits in. Understand where David Rockefeller fits in. Understand that there really is another dimension, and there are people who can contact that other dimension. And if you doubt that, why, you need to see the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And then please, ladies and gentlemen, get the information, which is available by going to RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day, directly or indirectly, on the Internet. You can go to TheAmericanNewsNet.com or GCNLive.com to get some of our programs. The others are at RadioLiberty.com. And then get others to listen to our programs. If they're interested about the oil scam, our newsletter, I believe it's September and October newsletter, Peak Oil, and of course Peak Oil 2, or The Myth of Peak Oil and Peak Oil 2, they're available on the Internet. Pull them down if you don't have access to the Internet, and you haven't been in touch with us before. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of my Peak Oil 2 newsletter, which will show you the whole thing is a scam. They've raised your electricity rates, they've raised your natural gas costs. They're going to continue raising the cost of gasoline and oil. Part of a great scam dedicated to the impoverishment of the American people. So pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.